double header. Okay, double header parshas Tazria Mitzayra, two parashios. It is interesting, if I'm not mistaken, there's only one parasha in the Torah that is called by a word that's not pleasant. If I remember exactly, there are 54 parashios in the Torah. So the word, every parasha is either positive or neutral. Okay, Bereshis, Noyach, Lech Lecha, Vayerech, Hayesara, Toldos. There's nothing doesn't scare you. The word of the parish, the name of the parish does not scare you. There's only one parish in the whole Torah.
Well, Acharei
Mois
is not a great
Acharei, no, so it's not necessarily, okay, you gave a good point. Acharei Mois.
Oh,
a good point. Acharei Mois. Some don't call it, some indeed don't call it Mois. They call it Acharei. They call it Acharei. They don't call it. And also, it's Acharei Mois. It's not Mamish Misa. It's what comes after Misa.
Goes together. Acharei Mois Kedoshim Emor.
Achrei Mois Kedosh Emor. Emor. Okay. Achrei Mois Kedosh. But it's right. You're going to make a good point. So maybe it's Achrei Mois. So at least it's Acharei. Okay. It's at least it's two words. So the first one is Achrei. Here it's Mitzora. You call Parshas Mitzora. Mitzora is not a word which you want to hear. Mitzora Rachmaninatino. It means a person is very sick. A person is either physically sick, spiritually sick, and mitzvah is not a word that makes us comfortable saying the word. So it's a mystery. It's a mystery why indeed we have the meaning to call it parashas mitzvah. We don't want to hear, people don't want to hear bad news. You don't want to hear that a person, just like tell you, you want to hear about a person, Rachmanos son is sick. You don't want to hear about a person who's a mitzvah. It's not something which is believable. So why indeed do we call it mitzvah? I do not know, but I did see is that traditionally there were many Gedolei Yisrael, there were many Gedolei Yisrael, or many communities that did not call it Parshas Mitzvah. They called it Parshas Tahara, or Parshas Zos Tiyah Taras. I have a whole long list of different terms that were used to refer to this Parsha. Common denominator is not to say mitzvah. Al moitzi al tiftach peh. It's not a good thing to say something. The Torah was ma'akein l'shoyne ha-behema sh'einene tohara. Instead of saying behema tameya, the Torah was ma'akein many words. So why did it become our custom to say mitzvah and not say something more pleasant? A parshas tahara, all the other things that traditionally were used. It is a very big mystery. The question is greater than any answer we can give. Okay. Any event, I want to go back. Let's go back to the first Rashi. The main Yisoid of this parasha, the Yisoid is the very first Rashi in this week's parasha. What's the first Rashi in parasha? Tazria. Omar Rabbi Simloi, Kishem Shed Yitzirosoi Shal Adam Achar Kol Behema Chaya Ve'oif B'masa B'neshes Kach Tairosoi Nisparsha Achar Tairas Behema Chaya Ve'oif. It's all he says. Rabbi Simloi says the same way that in Chumash Bereshis, in the Maisa Nebriya, in the creation, Adam was the last thing Hashem created. Hashem first created the Shemayim, the Aretz, and Hashem created all of the Moiris, and the Taminim, and the fish, and then the animals, the Chayus, the Oifos, the vegetation, the Chulu, and the very, very last thing came man. So too, in Chumash Vayikra, when we deal with the laws of animals and human beings, we first discuss animals. Now it's a very broad statement. It can mean refer to korbanos, all the various types of animals. You use this animal for this carbon and this animal for that carbon. If you bring carbon chakras, it's a kivsos ira. If you're a nasi, you bring a sohir, a par, ayil. So we describe the tafkid of every single animal. And probably what will the Chazal Rali probably really mean is it means which animals, the previous parasha shemini, which animals are kosher and which animals are not kosher. This simon mafras parsa, malas gera, kaskeses, snapipi kaskeses, and the shemoin shrotzim, which shrotzim are tummy, which shrotzim are tar, v'chulu, we describe the animals. Finally, we've made it through most of Chumash Vayikra, right? We made it through most of Vayikra already? We made it through half of Vayikra. Now, finally, we come to the laws of Adam. If a person has a problem, a person has a nega, how should he proceed in dealing with his situation when he has a nega at Saras, either a nega on himself or a nega on his property? What does he do? Okay, that's all Rashi says. But what is Rashi trying to tell us? What is Rabbi Simo? What's the message? Very nice. It's a very nice parallel. In Chumash Bereshis, first comes animal, then comes man. Likewise, in Parashat Chumash Vayikra, first comes animal, then comes the laws of man. So the answer is, it goes both ways. What do Chazal say? This is the, I'm not telling you a very common idea, which a lot of Mepharshim say in different words. I'm just trying to summarize what I've seen in many different places. And that is, when it comes to the why indeed did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create man last? So there are two different explanations. If man, the Medrash says, if a man succeeds, if man fulfills the will of his creator, he does what Hashem wants from him, then the fact that he came at the end is a maila, is a praise to man. I mean that, look, Hashem prepared an entire world and you just come right in. The banquet is all prepared, everything is in place, you just have to come and enjoy this world. You don't have to do anything. The fact that man came at the very end is viewed as a very great statement of honor. We've made all the preparations, we don't have to waste your time, and you just come in and sit down at the head of the table and enjoy the show. Enjoy the meal, enjoy the show. Everything has been created for you. On the other hand, if Rachmana Litzlan, a person fails, does not do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does not do the Ritzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then in Shemayim, the Balei Musar will say to him, you're good for nothing. You're nothing. Look, even the ant, even the yitosh, even the yitosh, what's a good word for yitosh? A gnat came before you. The most insignificant creature in the world came before you. You're just an afterthought by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're a failure. You're a miserable failure. Therefore, you came at the very, very end. So it goes both ways. It's a double-edged sword. The fact that man came last either can be viewed, can be interpreted as a maila, as a kovit for man, or can be interpreted as a musa. You're a nothing. You're a failure. You're a miserable excuse for this world. Everyone else that came before you was much more important. That's why they came first. So Rashi here is telling us exactly the point when it comes to negat saras. Negat saras is a very great nisayon. A person, Rachman Litzlan, is smitten with a nega. It's a very big challenge. It's very embarrassing. It means he's doing something wrong. He has to be taken to the kohen. The kohen has to go and examine him. The kohen has to declare that he's tamei. It makes headline news. He's tamei. They shave off his hair. He has to rise kriya. He has to let his hair grow long. He has to basically sit in avelus. He is excommunicated. He's driven out of the Sholosh Machanos. He has to go out far away. He has to sit the whole day and say, Bodod Yeshev Yichutz Machaneh, Tomei, Tomei Yikra. He has to make phone calls. People should be, he has to get people to be mispalel for him, that he should get better. It's an incredible bizoyon. It's an incredible nisoyon in life. He has to give up his parnasa, give up his business, and be quarantined. It's a very, very great nisoyon. It's a very great challenge in life. In fact, this is a mashal. Parashas Mitzora is a mashal of the mother of all nisyonos. Every time a person has a challenge in life, it's rooted in the concept of a Mitzora. The Mitzora is the ultimate nisyon in life, where you have to throw away your entirely existence, you have to throw away your family, you have to go out, be quarantined far, far away, middle of nowhere, and deal with the situation. How do you react? So you can go two ways. For some people, it's an experience that they can grow from. They can take the Musar to heart, they can learn from the experience, and they can thrive. They can do tshuva, they can develop a relationship with Talmidei Chacham to guide them how to improve their life and to find the defect in their neshama, to improve themselves, to improve the relationship of the people, and not speak Lashon Hara, and all the 10 reasons. Chazal said there are 10 reasons why a person gets saras, which means they're all there. There are 10 things that have to be improved, you have to work on. Gasa Ruach, Lashon Hara, all the different things. On the other hand, some people, they're bitter. Hashem, how did you do this to me? I was just about to make a wedding for my child, and now I have to go into isolation. Bodod Yeshev, I have to miss the wedding. I was in the middle of a business deal. I have to go and give up everything, and I'm embarrassed, and people, it's going to be on my record. They'll ever Google me. They'll see that I was once a Mitzora, and it's not going to be good for Shaduchim, for my other children. It's a very big nisun, it's a very bitter experience. And it can cause a person, Rachmana Litzlan, to challenge Hashem, to be bitter. It's a nisun which you can go two ways. And therefore, that's exactly the point, what Rashi is coming to say. We put the parasha, the laws of Tzaras, after the laws of animals, just like we find it in the beginning of Chumash Bereishis. It comes after the animals. Because the reason why it comes after the animals, because it can go both ways. If you succeed, it's viewed as the biggest shevach. You come in a limousine, you sit down at the head of the table, enjoy the food, enjoy the entertainment, everything has been prepared for you. On the other hand, if you fail, you're nothing. A cockroach is more important than you. You're a piece of garbage. That's the nisayon. The nisayon is, how does a person deal with nisyonos, deal with difficult situations of life? You can either go la'ela, and you can use it as an opportunity to succeed and to thrive, or rachmana litzlan, if you don't have the right guidance, it can be a very big nisayon which can take a person down a very dark path in life. Okay, next topic. Hey, I have a kash. I don't have an answer. I have something to think about. Bothers me this question. We have over here the isha, she gives birth. The yolda zachar. V'tama shivas yamim, kimei. She'll be contaminated for 7 days. Kimei. Nidas divaisa titma. Again, no answer. So I have something to think about. Maybe someone on the spot will have a good answer. She'll be tummy like the days of a nida. A woman who's a nida is a nida for 7 days. Okay, so when she gives birth, is dam. There's dam leda. Dam leda has the status of dam nida. And anytime there's blood, a woman is tummy for 7 days. And then it says divaisa. What does it mean divaisa? Funny word. Rashi has two interpretations. One is divaisa means dover hazav migufa. Like the blood of nida that flows from her body, okay, zav means zav. Lashon acher, lashon madve v'choli. Ladova means illness, weakness. And Rashi explains she'ein isha ro'ah dam shaloi techela. A woman who sees blood, she gets sick. That's the mitzias. A woman who releases blood from her body becomes ill. V'roisha ve'evorecha kevedin olecha. Her head and her limbs are heavy upon her. So my question over here is, why only when a woman gives birth to a zohar does it say there's going to be divaisa? When a woman vim nikevas seleit, you're writing the Torah, right, with this template, and you would say vim nikevas seleit, like finish the pasuk. Let's say you're in third grade, finish off the pasuk. Vim nikevas seleit v'tamash shivam kinidas sa. It should say she's going to be Tmei Shivasayim Kinidasa Vidavasa. Just like by a Zohar, it says Kimei Nidas Divaisa. When a woman gives birth to a Nikeva, it should say Vitama Shivuayim Kinidasa. There should be a parallel. The word divaisa is mysteriously omitted in reference to the giving birth of a nikeva, as if to say that the woman doesn't get sick. She doesn't feel bad. When she gives birth to a zohar, roisheha, her head, ve'evareha, kevedin aleha. When she gives birth to a girl, she's nida, okay, there's dam nida, but it doesn't say that her head and her limbs are kivedin aleha. Why not? Why is the birth of a girl different? So, I mean, today you should just the opposite. Today people are more worried about shidduchim for a girl than worried for a boy. Not necessarily true. Okay, but why, so you'll say maybe, like you say, there's a mother's daughter. Okay, so there's a certain simcha. A mother, a woman knows that her daughter will always be there with her in her old age. That's not necessarily true, because according to Chazal, the one that's going to be there for the mother is going to be the son, because the son has control. The son is a free man. A woman is totally in the das of her husband. So according to all accounts, it would seem that a woman should have more agmas nefesh with the birth of a daughter. I have to say that, but I mean is that just practically, her daughter is going to be taken away by her husband, so he's not under her jurisdiction. And so why is it missing? I don't have an answer, just something I found to be very curious, something to think about. Okay, let's go to another idea.
The schneer is involved.
What?
That by the son, the shneir is involved.
By the son, the who's it? What's the shneir? What's shneir? Daughter-in-law. You say that a son you worried about. Look, they do say. Okay, I know that in chinuch. I know people. They tell me that their daughters, the chinuch habanos, it's a breeze. Ruba de ruba. I can't say no. It's a bracha. It's the girls are so good. They're so good. They learn. They're diligent. They study. They're educated. They're all. There's no problem. You don't hear at risk. The at risk problem is for boys. Ruba de ruba. The boys are much more have a tendency to be troubled, to be led away the wrong way. You have to put a lot more energy into the chinuch habanim than the chinuch habanos. So you want to say that's what the pasuk comes to allude to? A boy. Oh, and I got a boy. A boy, you got to watch like a hawk. Every minute, make sure he's not doing this, not doing that. The girls, they're good. The girls are good. They have a tendency to be good. You want to say that? Maybe that's what it means. But it's something very curious. Okay, let's go by.
Maybe it's because the boy, the end of the birth is actually the bris in a week. Maybe that's the blessing.
So
thinking about the bris is part of
sick. So she's getting sick because of the bris. She has tsar because of the bris. She has sar. It's a simcha. A bris is a very big simcha. All right, I don't know. Just something to think about. A ha'ara, the topic of discussion. Why is the word divaysa not mentioned by the nekeva? Let's go to another idea. Okay, this is a little bit of a drush. Okay, it's a drush. This is a drush. Tell me what you think of this drush. Over here at the end of the parasha, before we go into parasha Tazria Mitzvah, we go to, there's a very fascinating Balatudim. Balatudim says that the word Torah appears 5 times. The very last pasuk of Parshas Tazria concludes Zois Toiras Nega Saras. 5 times in the combination of Tazria Mitzara do we have the word Torah in connection with a Nega Saras. The first time is the very last pasuk Zois Toiras Nega Saras Begirat Semer B'chulu. The second time is the beginning of Parshas Mitzara where it says the second pasuk Zois Tihyeh Toiras Hamitzaira. The third time is where it says Zois Toiras Asher Yeh Bo Negat Saras at the end of Zois Toiras Asher Bo Negat in the Perek Yudalit. No, I'm sorry. Perek Yudal Pasik Lamed Beis. At the end of the section of the Nigei Adam, it says Zois Toiras Asher Bo Negat Saras. And then the last 2 times are the end, the very end of the parish of Tzras, entirely right before Perek Tes Vav, the very end of Perek Tes Yudalid, Zois HaToyra, L'chol Nega HaTzaras V'lanosek, and then the last words are Zois Taras HaTzaras. So what's the significance that the word Torah appears in regard to Tzaras 5 times? So the Baal HaTorim says very simply, anyone that is over on Lashon Hara, Chomesh Pamim Kneged Chamisha Chumashim. There are 5 Torahs. There are Chamisha Chumshe Torah. Each Chumash is called the Torah. Kneged Chamisha Chumashim Loimar Shehamisaper Lashon Hara. This is fundamental. The Torah is teaching us something important. It's anyone Sabal Lashon Hara, Ki Ilu over Al Chamisha Chumshe Torah. This is the words of the Baal HaTorim. So I just want to be myself. This a little teeny ha'ara is it's a process. There are 5. There are really 4 steps. I wanted to say there are 4 steps, and the 5th is really a summary. What do we mean? The first time that it says saras is referring to garments. It's not referring to the person. The very first time is end of Parshas Tazria. Zois toiras negat saras, not on you. Beged hatsemer oy hapishtim oy hashasi oy ha'erev oy kol kli or letaharoy oy lutamo. Chazal say tsaras, Hashem does not start with the person himself. Hashem first sends tsaras to the bais. If you don't get the message, then it goes to the clothing. You don't get the message, then it comes to the person. Hashem is very delicate. Hashem sends warning signs. Hashem doesn't want to afflict the body itself. So the first thing it says tsaras is it's mechutz. It's external. Get the message. If you don't get the message, the next time it comes to the person. The person, Zos Tihye Toiras Hamitsoira. The Mitsoira means the person. The person. But even the person, it's not me. It's not me. I made a mistake. You know, you speak Lashon Hara once. So you speak Lashon Hara. So now the garment has Saras. You speak Lashon Hara a second time. I have on my body. But, you know, it's a mistake. I can correct the mistake. You keep on doing it, it becomes personal. Then you come Zos HaTorah. Then it comes. Then it comes Zos Toras Asher Bo Negat Saras. It's not just superficial Asher Bo. And then if you don't correct it by that time, you know what happens? It becomes your ideology. Zos HaTorah. This is the way it is. You know, you do a mitzvah a few times, it becomes a mitzvah. This becomes Zois HaTorah. It's not just Asher Boy. You become a Rosh Hashiva teaching this. This is the way you live. You live with Lashon Hara. And then the last time it says, this is a summary, Zois Toras HaTzaras. That's the Seder. This is the Seder HaDvarim of what happens when it comes to Lashon Hara. You let it start, slowly it will creep in. It starts b'chutz, it's external. It's just b'chutz, the garments. You do a little more, it touches you, but it's only superficial. You do a little bit more, it's asher boy. It's mamish, part of your essence. You do a little bit more, it becomes zois hatorah. This becomes your ideology. You'll teach it. You'll teach it to other people.
And that one, you could say, some people say, it's a mitzvah to say, I'm this guy, Lashon
Hara. Oh, exactly. So it's HaTorah. This, and then we conclude, this is the Seder HaDvarim, Zois, Toras, HaTzaras. It goes from one level to the other. You got to nip it in the bud. When it comes to Lashon Hara, Sin HaSinim, you don't nip it in the bud, you're asking for big, big trouble. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have in Parashas Mitzrayim. Okay, this list will elaborate a little bit more. Vayidaber Hashem Zosia Taras Hamitzrayim Biyom Tarasai. Okay, Pasuk Gimel V'yatzo Hakoyin V'hi Elam Luchus Menachem V'hira Hakoyin V'hinei. The pasuk says Nirpa Nega Hatzaras Min Hatzruna. By the way, before we go further, it's important to notice that the Svarim Hakidoshim, they write that this parasha, it's very, this Tukuf in the year is the Zman of Refuah. It is man to be mispalel to work to emphasize that Hashem should bring refuah. Chodesh Iyar. We mentioned last week Chodesh Iyar. We spell with two yuds, okay? But some spell it with one yud, and those who spell with one yud, it's not a halacha. And again, it has to be with two yuds, but those who spell with one yud, it's Rashi Tevas Ani Hashem Roifeecha. You could also say with the two yuds, because you know, two yuds, the way we refer to Hashem in a siddur, two yuds. Ani Hashem Roifeecha. And in fact, where do you have in the Torah refuah? So you'll tell me, oh well, in Parashas Beshalach. But there it's preventive medicine. It's not refuah. It's Kol Amachlash or Samti V'Misham Loyosim Unachi Ani Hashem Nacha. Im Shemoyah Tishma L'Kol Hashalacha. Here it's Mamish refuah. Okay, you have Miriam. So Miriam was Kel No Refuah No Law. That's Parshas. What Parshas is that? Chukas.
Shlach.
Kel No Refuah No Law. But here we're dealing with the common man.
Aloysio.
Here we're dealing with the common man, and the pasuk here emphasizes in the beginning of the parasha the Vehine Nirpa. There's a koyach of refuah nirpa nega hatzaras v'natsura. It's a tkufa chodesh iyar is when we learn parshas mitzora tazria mitzora. We also emphasize bris milo v'yom hashmini yimel besar loso. The number 8 is always associated with refuah. The 8th bracha nishman esra is refa'enu, because every bris milo needs refuah. When you learn in the Torah bris milo and you learn in the Torah v'nei nirpa nega hatzaras, this time of the year when Klal Yisrael is reading about refuah, it is me'oyer ha'koyach of refuah in the world. And there's a time that Chazal tells us that a person should have a little bit extra kavana in the bracha of refa'enu for those who need refuah. Okay, now kasha is earlier, everyone has the kasha, especially of Shimon Schwab, is the pasuk. If you were given the task to write the pasuk, you would not write the pasuk in this fashion. You would write v'yotzaka v'hinei nirpa ha'mitzora min hanega. The mitzora, who was a mitzora, v'hinei nirpa min hatzaras. He's no longer a mitzora. He's no longer a tzorua. V'hinei nirpa hatzorua min hatzaras. Or you would say nirpa min nega tzaras. Once a person has been healed and he's been given a bill of clean, of good health, that's it. It's off the record. You're a healthy person. Yet the pasuk says, v'hinei, behold, nirpa the nega tsaras has been healed. The nega has been healed. Menat tsarua, from the tsarua, the leper, the person. That's not, that gives you the, that gives you connotations. This person is sick. He's a sick, sick person. He's a tsarua. It just happens that the nega has gone away. Nothing has changed with regard to the person's status, just the nega has gone away. That's not correct. The person, if the nega has gone away, he's not a tsarua. So even if you want to refer to the fact that in the past he was a tsarua, you should at least put the emphasis on the pasuk that the person has been healed from his disease. So why is it presented in this fashion? So this is a very common question. So the idea I like the best is from Shimon Schwab. We mentioned this probably in the past, mentioned maybe even this week we spoke about it. Shimon Schwab says, he says that tsaras, there in Chazal, it's mashma, there's a physical disease of tsaras, and there's a spiritual tsaras. And here what it means, when the person, Hashem does not bring upon the person this spiritual, supernatural tsaras, before he has a warning son, Hashem fires a warning shot and it gives him the physical tsaras. A person has a bright spot on his skin, he goes to the dermatologist, and the dermatologist says, you have a rash, you have leprosy, we're going to quarantine you. But this is natural, this is nature, this is teva, you have a certain type of contagious skin disease and we have to quarantine you. So the person gets scared. I have a disease, I have to go and I have to make a cheshbon hanefesh. What did I do to deserve this? A person goes, he's quarantined, he wastes his time, doesn't make a cheshbon hanefesh, and then all of a sudden the negat saras, it's no longer the ordinary white color. When the dermatologist comes and looks at it and says, you know, I've never seen this. This is not what they teach us in medical school. This is not the typical leprosy. This negat saras has transformed into something which I'm not familiar with. Oh, you better call the kohen. You better call your rabbi. You better call the rabbi. There's something over here that's more than I can relate to. So that's what happens. So now they call the kohen. The kohen says, oh, you were sick with leprosy and you didn't take the warning sign. And now Hashem brought upon you a spiritual disease. Now it's even worse. Now you're going to be quarantined, not just in Yerushalayim. You're going to have to sit shiva, you're going to have to let your hair go long, you have to rip your clothing, you're going to have to do tamei tamei yikra, you're going to have to bring korbanos, you're going to have to shave off all your hair and bring a hole, it's going to be very complicated. Now he gets the message. Now when he's healed, Rav Shimon Schwab says, when he's healed, it goes in stages. First, he's healed from the spiritual illness. But when he's healed from the spiritual illness, he has to go back in stages. He's still going to remain with the physical illness. That's what it means. Vihine nirpa, the nega hatsaras, the spiritual nega has been lifted min from the person hatsarua who is still suffering from the physical tsaras. And now he continues. Now he's still sick. So now, but at least it's the same way it comes, it goes. It came first with a physical illness, then a spiritual illness was superimposed upon that. Now the spiritual component is removed, and now he's still left with that, so he's still left with the physical component. If you go further, you can say that's why you bring the two birds. The one bird you slaughter, and the other bird you dip in its blood and you send free. Why one bird do you slaughter, one bird do you set free? The two birds correspond to the refuas hanefesh and the refuas haguf. Every time we daven, we always mispal, there's a spiritual element and there is a physical element. Once you cure the spiritual part of the disease, the nail of the physical part of the disease goes away. So here, when they're going to bring the korbanos like a segula, they're going to take one bird which corresponds to the spiritual element. The other bird corresponds to the physical element. Once this person has worked on his midos, has done tshuva, and he has slaughtered the physical element, the spiritual element, it's been slaughtered, we then automatically, you can be assured that with any harm done, automatically the physical ailment will just naturally disappear. You take the physical disease, which is symbolized by the living bird, you dip it in the blood of the dead bird, which means the blood, the success in conquering the Yetzirah. You've conquered the Yetzirah, you conquered the spiritual problem, and now you take the other bird, which is the physical component, and you send it away. To mean, once there's a refuas ha-nefesh, mimela, automatically there will be a refuas ha-guf. This is pretty much the approach, an approach with a little bit more elaboration from Shimon Schwab, to fataych the pasuk, what it means, v'inei nirpa nega ha-tsaras min ha-tsarua, period. I want to suggest another very simple idea. As I've done with this idea, let's talk about a nazir. A nazir, in fact, the Mitzorah is similar to a nazir. There are only three people in Tanakh, in Chumash, who have all of their hair removed. A Mitzorah, a nazir, and a Levi. When a Levi, and a Kohen and a Levi, well, at least in the time of Moshe, not the new Levim, but when the Levim were inaugurated into the service, Moshe shaved off all of their hair. Every hair of their body was completely removed. A Nazir shaves the hair on his head, not the hair of his body, and the Mitzorah has to shave off all the hair of his body. But let's focus for a moment on the Nazir. It says in the Torah, V'achar yishte ha-Nazir yayin. A Nazir for 30 days, at least 30 days, he abstains from yayin. Does not go to the Beis HaKvaras. And then the 30 days are over. It's it, he's done. He brings the korbanos. He is no longer a nazir. He's no longer a nazir. And the proof is now he's allowed to drink wine. Question. Why then does it... So therefore, let me... If you were writing the Torah and you would give him the instruction to write that now he can drink wine, you'll say, the achar yishte yayin. Even that's not necessary. Once you're no longer a nazir, you can drink the wine. The achar yishte yayin. But that's not what it says. It says the achar yishte hanozir yayin. But he's no longer a nozir. So Chazal asked this question. They say, from here you learn an incredible yisoid. Once a nozir, you're always a nozir. The only difference is that during the time of Nazirus, you can't drink wine, you can't be metamel beis akvaris. But the experience of being a nozir, the experience of being on that high spiritual exalted status for 30 days or for whatever period of time, however long, that stays with you forever. V'achar yishte, you're still a nazir. You're just a nazir without the restrictions. The kedusha, nazir is a nazir, it's a crown. You've taken upon yourself the crown of Hashem. You've learned, you've disciplined yourself not to indulge in the tanuvi olam hazeh for a period of time. You've been trained, you've brought upon yourself kedusha. That stays with you forever. V'achar yishte ha-nazir yayin. Likewise, a mitzoyra, just because he's been quarantined and he's suffered so much, it doesn't go away. The experience, the Torah is giving you, you can see in many different ways, but one approach is the Torah is giving you a Musar Haskel. The experience of being a Metzorah should never go away. Should never go away. In other words, the average person would say, listen, it's behind me. It was a bad dream. Rachman al Tzad, a person is sick. Right? So listen, I was out for a year. I had to go away, whatever, hulu v'hulu. And now I'm back. Baruch Hashem, I'm back. The doctor has given me a clean bill of health. I'm perfect. There's no trace of any illness in my body. I'm 100%. What happened a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago? Clean slate. Never happened. It never happened. Kilo never happened. No. The experience, you grew from the experience. You had a difficult time in life. It was an experience. It was a challenge. It was an assoyon. That challenge you grew from. You grew from your experience. You became a different person. It shouldn't go away. Take the positive. No one's asking for this. Chas v'shal. No one's asking to be a mitzvah. But once it already happened to you, don't just wipe the slate clean. Grow from it. Use it going forward. Maybe you can use it as a tool to help other people who are going through this experience. Maybe you can use this, if you don't want to do that path, just to remember to always give Hashem shevach v'haydafu that you survived, or that you can use the lessons that you've gained in this experience to become a better person. That's what the pasuk is teaching you in the beginning of Parashas Mitzorah. V'hine nirpo nega hatzaras min hatzarua. You will always be a tzarua. Just like v'achar yishte ha-nozir yayin, you'll always be a nozir. You can drink wine, you can go to Beis HaKvaris, but the experience, take it with you. The same exact thing. V'ach nirpa nega min hatzarua. Don't ignore the experience. There was a purpose. Take it with you. It's not just a bad dream. It's here for a purpose.
There's a difference. If you, it's an also, which means kedusha. This is just the opposite. You like to forget.
It was a lesson. Enoch and Ami. He did averos, and the averos caused him to suffer. But he did tshuva. He became. He got out of it. He was healed.
It's knocky. It's free.
What?
It's free. Once it does
the experience of doing teshuva made him into a better person. Yom Kippur. What do we do on Yom Kippur? We do teshuva our averus. So it's kedai the whole year to remember Yom Kippur. The experience, you become a different person. This is the lesson the Torah is telling you. You once are tzarua, you always are tzarua. Don't forget the experience. Use it to your advantage. No one's asking for it, chas v'shalom. But once already it came upon you, you have to look at like medicine. We all know a vaccine. You got the once a person has chicken pox, he always has the chicken pox because he's developed the antibodies to fight it. So basically, it's with him his entire life. He just doesn't have the problems. He only has the advantages. It's the same thing in the spiritual world, and that's what the pasuk is telling you. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, I just saw this story, which made an impression upon me. A story from the Chafetz Chaim made an impression upon me. Chafetz Chaim, when he wrote Sefer Chafetz Chaim, Shmiras HaLashon, he brought his Sefer to Gedoyle Yisrael for Haskama. The Chafetz Chaim at that point in time wasn't the Chafetz Chaim. He also wanted to get a Haskama. So he went, he doesn't say in this book who the Gadol was, but he went to one of the Gedolei Hadar, who's known to be very, very tough, very harsh. And he went to the Chafetz Chaim, and he went to this Gadol, and he showed him his Sefer, and he asked him to write a Haskama. So he said, he was very harsh with the Chafetz Chaim, and he said to him, what are you writing Sfarim like this? At your age, I don't know what age the Chafetz Chaim was, he says, at your age, you should be Isaac in writing Sfarim and Lashon Hara. You should be Isaac in learning Amkos Shel Torah and Sugyas and Shas and Paiskim. What are you wasting your time on this? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are at this point in your life to be writing a Sefer Shmiras Lashon Chafetz Chaim to go give Musa to the entire world? And he threw him out of the house. So it says in the book, he threw the Chafetz Chaim out of the house. What? It doesn't say in the book who it is. This is what it says. So this Chaim was very, he writes there, right in the book, this is what it says in the book. This book really has all the best stories from the Chafetz Chaim, the most amazing stories. I hope they're true. He writes there is that the Chafetz Chaim was very hurt. He was really shaken up. He was shaken up and he was walked outside the house, was walking home, and as he was walking, he met the son of this Gadol, this very great person. And this person saw the Chafetz Chaim like very shaken up, and he said, what happened? What happened to you? So he told him the story. So this son said to him, don't worry, this is how my father behaves. This is my derech of my father, this is the derech of my father. He gets everyone that comes into him, he throws them out and he screams at them. He has a temper. This is the derech, the hanhaga of my father. So the Chafetz Chaim said to him, no, he's right. Don't say that. It's Lashon Hara. He told him, how dare you say about your father that your father has a hot temper and he's a very, very combative. He's right. What he said to me is right. This is not something I should be doing. There are more important things to be Isaac in this time of my life. He's right. And he told the person, how dare you say Lashon Hara about your father? So this person was very impressed. Now look at this. Not only Noe Doiresh, the Noe Nekayim. The Chafetz Chaim, he thought about it, he wrote a Sefer on Hilchos Lashon Hara, and I said by my own father something negative in order to cheer him up. He right away says, Lashon Hara, what are you saying? He's right, v'chulu v'chulu. He went back and he told his father what happened, and the father was so impressed. with how the Chofetz Chaim reacted to the son, to his son, trying to criticize the father and say, this is his derech, call him back. I'm going to give him haskama. I want to give him haskama on the sefer. I see Noe doinesh, noe mikayim. Okay, practice what you preach. Parashat of Lashon Moitzi, Shema, Lashnara. It's all good to learn the halachas, but it's a whole different league when you're nizer in what the halachas say. Okay, let's go to another short idea. Okay, we send away the two birds. I know they told you this the end of the past, but it's a nice short vart. Why do we send away the two? One bird is slaughtered and one bird is sent free. Why? Why do we send one bird free? So we all know this very famous var from the Vilna Goin, the Gra. The Gra, when the person comes to Shema Machameh Veshmi, he's not to give din v'cheshbon. What is din v'cheshbon? Din means you have to give an accounting for all of your averos. Every avero is recorded, and every avero you're going to have to give an accounting for. What's a cheshbon? Cheshbon, the Goin says that during the time that you were doing the averos, you could have been doing a mitzvah. Look at what you lost. It's not just the avera that you've committed you're going to be punished for, you're going to suffer for. The time that you did the avera, you could have been doing a mitzvah. That's the cheshbon. It's the same thing with Lashon Hara. When you had an opportunity to have a conversation with a person, think about it, it's very interesting, you have a conversation, and then the person says something. He says something which provokes you. And now you have a nisayon. So now you slip and you say something nasty. You said Lashon Hara. You can be punished for that Lashon Hara. But think about it. During that time, when the person made that comment, which took you down the wrong path, you could have used it as an opportunity to say something nice or to say something that would put the other person in the proper, correct him and get the conversation off to the right path. That's the cheshbon. When a person does tshuva and he goes through the process of tahara for Lashon Hara, he brings two birds. One bird he slaughters, and one bird, a tzibur means, the Chazal say, it chirps. The reason why you slaughter the bird is because the bird, just like the bird chirps, when the person speaks Lashon Hara, he chirps like a bird. He talks like a bird. One bird you slaughter, that's the symbolic of the Lashon Hara. The bird that you send away to talk represents what I could have said. That's the cheshbon. The good words, the proper beneficial words that I could have said at that time, that I also need kapara for. What should have been spoken. And therefore, the second bird, Adarab, is sent, flown away to send free. Okay, another shrine. This is the ha'ara. This is make this make two different types of ha'aras. Number one is the technique. The procedure for the mitzvah is one of a kind. It is so elaborate. You don't have any other person, any other figure in Tanakh, that in Chumash, in mitzvahs, that requires such an elaborate procedure. You have to first take two birds. You have to go slaughter one bird. You have to then take the bird, you have to dip it with Ezoiv Ushni Talas. You have to take it with hyssop and Ushni Talas. And three things. What does it say? It says the bird, okay, the bird and the Ezoiv.
The eight
Eres, the gaiv of eight Eres, together with the Ezoiv, tied with the Shni Talas. You dip it in its blood, and then you sprinkle upon the person, the Bein Yad, Bein Regel, and you send away the bird, and then you take all the and take the oil of the on the eighth day. You take the oil, you pour the oil upon, and you put it on his finger, on his thumb, and his toe, and you pour the leftover oil on his head. What is going on? So the answer is, if you look very carefully, all of these things are done to only very holy people. For example, the shaving off also he has to shave off all of his hair. Who shaves off all of his hair? The Levim. When a person is inaugurated to the service of becoming a Levi, well, not in our generation, but in the time of Moshe, every hair in his body had to be shaved off. So what are we basically saying to the Mitzvah? You're like a Levi. You are now going to serve Hashem. What are we going to do? We're going to take the oil, the leftover oil of your carbon, we're going to pour it on your head. Upon whom do we find in the Chumash that we pour oil on their head? The Kohanim. The Kohanim in Parashas Tzav, in Parashas Tetzaveh. When the Kohanim were inaugurated to the service, the oil was poured on their head in order to sanctify them. we find. So what is this all? And when does this take place? On the Yom HaShmini, on the eighth day. Where do we have Yom HaShmini? Yom HaShmini we find by the Miluim. Vayihi by Yom HaShmini was the day when the Mishkan was inaugurated, the 7 days of Miluim, leading from Chodesh Adar, 23rd day, until the Aleph Nisan, and that was the day when the Chanukah HaMishkan. It's the eighth day. We're shaving off all of his hair. We're pouring oil on his head. We're putting blood on his thumb and his toe. Upon whom do we pour? We put the blood on the thumb and the toe. The Kohanim in Parshas Saf, when Moshe Rabbeinu inaugurated the Kohanim, he took the blood of the Karbonis, he put it really on three parts, on the earlobe, on the thumb, and on the toe. We don't put it on the earlobe, but we do put it on the thumb and the toe. What did all of this teach us? It teaches us, like the same idea we mentioned before, is that when a Levi, when a person is a Mitzorah, Rachman Litzlan, and he undergoes the process of Tahara, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an opportunity for him to be mamish, like a Kohen, to be a Levi. Everything combined, like the Mishkan. We're doing for him things that are only done in Tanakh. We find by the Chanukah HaMishkan. He's now going to back home to his bayis. He's going to build a new bayis. He's going to be like the Kohen. He's going to be like the Levi. All of the, we're combining upon him all of the things that are done for the holiest people in Klal Yisrael are being done in honor of this person who is Nichshol in Nadeira, who has now done a successful teshuva and is now re-entering Klal Yisrael. He's re-entering Klal Yisrael with a very exalted degree of holiness. And to emphasize that point, the Torah is the min that what's done to him is only done to Kohanim Levim, similar on a day which the Torah describes the same day to remind him of the Chanukah HaMishkan. On the other hand, you also have to remember that we're having him use, we're using the Eitz Eretz, the Ezer Shtitolas. Where do we find the Eitz Eretz, the Ezoiv? Where do we find this? In Mitzrayim, by Karm Pesach, by Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why? What did Chazal say? Hashem is coming to kill the Bechor. Why do we have to put blood, why do we have to smear the blood with the Ezoiv and the Eitz Eretz? The answer is, when the Mashchis comes to destroy, it's not mavchin between a tzaddik and a rosh. We spent so much time in Yecheskel on this. It's not mavchin, and therefore, if you're not going to be spared just because you're a tzaddik, the mashkes is not going to make a difference between you and anyone else. It's going to come for you as well. That's the reminder. On the one hand, you're a holy, holy person now. You've done tshuva, but remember, learn the lessons of what of your averos. Remember. When even if you do tshuva, even the averos of lashon hara are so great, are so terrible, when the mashchis comes to destroy, he's not going to be mafkid b'din tzaddik l'rasha. It's a visual reminder to tell the person. You remind yourself about yitzias mitzrayim. Remind yourself about the hashchasa when the person is deserving of punishment. Even if he may be a tzaddik, if you still are associated to a community or part of a group that is involved in this avera, and when the time comes, the mashkis will not differentiate between the tzaddik and the rasha. Many of these things come together to remind the person of the severity of the avera and how holy he is at this time, the opportunity he has to move forward. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, another idea, let's talk about the sending way of the bird. This is an old vart I told you in the past, but it's a favorite vart, and I don't have anything else to say, so I might as well tell it to you. And that is, where else do we find in the Torah the sending way of a bird? The sending way of a bird. Shluch HaKain. Shluch HaKain is the only other place in the Torah that we are told to send away the bird. Shaleach Tishlach HaSoem Yes HaBonim Tikach Loch. And what does the Torah say? L'man Yitav Loch. V'harachta yamin. You'll be zeicher to arichas yamin. Lashon hara. The Gemara says, what does Lashon hara do? Lashon hara kills three people. The Gemara says it kills. In mamish, it kills. In the words, it brings misa upon three people. The one who speaks it, the one who listens, and the victim, the subject of the Lashon hara. Three people are murdered through the chait of Lashon hara. A triple murder. Triple homicide is committed through Lashon Hara. When you have a bird, think about it. Think if you were the bird. You have a community of birds. Birds are very sensitive creatures. And all of a sudden, one day, two of you are taken. Put yourself in the mind of the bird. And the bird is sitting there with its friend. And they take the bird. And they slaughter the bird. It's a traumatic experience. For a person to witness For a person, I think the battery's gone. It's a list for 10 seconds, that's going to go out. Anyway, it's almost all over. So the bird is witnessing its friend, its best friend, be murdered from its perspective right in front of its eyes. Is that not frightening? Is it not frightening for one bird to see the death of a fellow bird? You ever go to a slaughterhouse empire? You see the crates? They're all lined up. It's frightening. If crates lined up for a mile, all the birds are in these crates. They know what's going on. These birds know what's going on. They know. They know they're next on line. They know what's flying. You go into a slaughterhouse by the animals. They know what's going on, and they're very. It's very. They're very sad. You can see. You can see the expression. You look at them. You can sense. They sense. They see what's going on, and they're very sad. They're very frightened. They're very sad that they're coming to an end. So therefore, it's a very traumatic. Al achas kama v'kama. When you take one bird and you dip it, now after you've done it, the horror of murdering its friend, you take the bird and you dip it in the blood of its fellow bird. Isn't that a traumatic experience? To be dipped in the blood of its friend? And then it's sent away. It's sent away. Chazal said the reason why you do that, according to one interpretation, is because it's now marked. And when the other birds see that it's full of blood, they're going to assume that it was the murderer. It killed another bird. And they're going to try to kill it. They're going to try, this bird will also now indirectly die because of the stain of blood upon its body. Other birds are going to assume that it's a murderer, and it's a mark. You have just terrorized this poor little bird three times. Number one, it had to witness the death of its friend. Number two, you took it and you dipped it in the blood. How does that feel, to be dipped in the blood of its friend? Number three, now it's filthy. It's now marked. Everyone is staring at it. And he knows that he's next. He's now going to be killed. Triple death. A triple experience of death. What does the Chazal say? You speak Lashon Hara. You're killing three people. It's terrible. And yet the Torah, on the other hand, says, have rachmanis on the bird. Shaleach tishalach esa'im. Losigach aim alabonim. Shaleach tishalach esa'im. Why? And what does Chazal say? Have rachmanis. It's not good for a mother, the tsar, for a mother to see its child taken away in front of her eyes. It's just too painful for a mother. Now here it's not a mother and a child, okay, it's not a mother and child, but it's the same idea. It's a friend. It's a friend. They're two birds for a part of the same family, whatever they are. So it's a horrible, terrifying experience. How could the Torah do such a thing like this? Well, the answer is, Torah didn't do anything, you did it. When the Torah says have rachmanis, what does it mean have rachmanis? What's the reward for having rachmanis? L'man yitav lach v'harach toyanim. You, by speaking Lashon Hara, have brought death. You brought death to yourself, brought death to the listener, brought death to the subject of your conversation. Nimela, we want to remind you of the death that you've brought. We want you to take a bird, murder it, kshacht it, and dip the other bird, traumatize the other bird, by having it watched, dipping it and sending it away, and that's going to shake you up. It's going to recall, it's going to force you, wait a minute, what am I doing? Doesn't the Torah want me to have rachmanis on birds? And the reward for having rachmanis on living creatures is, l'man yitav loch v'harach l'yamim. It must be, I'm guilty, just the opposite's going to happen to me. By me, it's not going to be l'man yitav, it's not going to be good, and it's not going to be harach l'yamim. Exactly, it's not. For speaking Lashon Hara, it's exactly what you brought upon yourself. You brought upon yourself these terrible, terrible things. Okay, one last thing is we have over here the parasha of the here, the Se'ar, the here. What is the siman of Tzaras? The siman of Tzaras is when you see in a michya, in a nega, a white here. The here has changed colors. A Sa'ar, Chazal say, is the same letters as a Sha'ar. A Se'ar and a Shahar are the same letters. One is a Sin, one is a Shin. The vowels are different. But there is a relationship between a Se'ar, a here, and a Shahar, a gate. They say under a microscope, is this true under a microscope? A here is a hollow. A here is like a tube. Every here is really a tube. It's really a hollow. A here is a Pesach into the body. The reason why a Se'ar has the same letters as Shar is because there is a little opening into the body. A Hia represents the smallest opening into a person's self. It says in Chazal, when Mashiach will come and they will slaughter the Yetzirah, that Tzadikim will cry and the Rishon will cry. The Tzadikim will cry and they'll say, wow, the Yetzirah is like a magnificent mountain. A magnificent mountain. There's no way I could have survived the Yetzirah if not for the Siyat Tishmai Vashem. The Rishoyim will cry and they'll say the Yetzirah is just a blade, just a Seyar. It's just a here. It's a nothing. It's a blade. It's just a here. How could it be that we were so foolish not to overcome this teeny little particle, this teeny little Seyar? Both, so what do we see from this Chazal? And the Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. The Yetzirah begins. It's so easy to overcome the Yetzirah when he first comes for the very first time. It's just like a piece of hair. Just blow it away. Just flick it away. It's nothing. If you don't let the Yetzirah, if you don't blow it away, then it accumulates into the size of a magnificent man. But it all starts out with a Seyar. When this person does an Avera, a person speaks Lashon Hara, all the 10 different Averas for which he gets Neged Saras, the Siman that indicates that he is a mitzara all begins with a Seyar. The Seyar turns white. What does that tell the person? It all started with just a little mistake. A little, just like the Rishayim, the Asalava, going to mourn over the fact they could have easily overcome the Yetzirah because it's nothing more than a Seyar. That's what Hashem is telling the person. The root of all the problems you're going to suffer now all began because you were not able to be omed in this one teeny little Seyar. And what is, and ultimately, because of that, what's going to happen? You're going to have to go be quarantined and do this and do that until you bring your Kurbanos. When you bring your Kurbanos, where do you stand? You stand in the ultimate Shar, the Shar Nikonar. You tell me, you can't come in. So you have to stick in your thumb. You stick your thumb in, where? The greatest gate, the greatest Shar in the world. It might not be the greatest gate in size, but in spirituality, there's no greater Shar. Zeh HaShar La Hashem Tzadikim Yovohu Lo. The Shar to the Beis HaMikdash is the ultimate Shar. It starts with a Seyar. And if you don't correct yourself, you're going to have to go through such bizyona, such a process, until you have to be taken al Pesach, until the Pesach Oyel Moed. The Pesach Oyel Moed is, Bayis Rishon is the Shar Nikonar. The Seyar is going to turn into the Shar. And it's a very long, difficult process. And the Nisoyin is to right away nip it in the bud. When it comes to Lashon Hara, comes all these other problems, is to recognize the sin from its root in order not to allow it to come upon us. May you all have a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbos of Simcha and Tahara. Good things. Well, before you say Kaddish, just another reminder that Mr. Kolodny, Mr. Abe Kolodny, had surgery this past week.